This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for Midi. Midi's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At Midi, you will find that their mission is clear: to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve. Because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. Midi, the care women deserve.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the TMO Bonus Show.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right. With the coughing. Sunflower seeds? Oh no!
Don't just spit them on your floor,
and don't spit them on your board. Good. Oh, good. Mike brought a cereal bowl.
One step ahead.
But Josh, how long will the bowl stay in the studio after the show?
Or the question is, I'm guessing in about 2 weeks when it's full, and he wants to show us, and he spills all the seed shells on his computer.
That's true. It could happen.
I was delighted to find these. I think they're from last night's game.
So they're fresh. Name and flavor, please. Because I know
you find them in the bag or just randomly in your pockets.
The car.
They are
by the French fries and the gold.
Oh, David's.
David. Mm-hmm.
That's a classic brand.
Yeah.
David.
David's a drink.
America's favorite
flavored.
Well, Mike, I'm glad you're supporting America.
America's favorite since RIP.
Are they from Kansas?
I don't know.
Because Kansas is the sunflower state.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why when we went, do you remember that? Oh, God, what an amazingly fun time it was when we went to Wichita.
And well, they are from Fresno.
Oh, they're from Fresno.
America's favorite seed brand.
That, to me, sounds like something you'd plant. Do they also do seeds you can plant?
I don't know.
Like you get yourself some sunflower seeds and some corn? That you can distribute out the backyard.
They've been roasted.
Well, you can't plant those, but maybe they have other seeds you can get.
Delicious seeds, expertly made, whole roasted seeds, no artificial flavors or colors. America's favorite seed brand.
Says who?
David.
Are they your favorite, Mike? And you, because you are America.
No, I don't have a favorite. I haven't been sucking on them long enough.
Josh, do you have a favorite?
I like the barbecue and the dill pickle.
Yeah, but do they have a brand?
Oh, Smack It.
Oh, it's the Smackin' once again.
Yeah. It's a Minnesota company.
I'm surprised none of these are coming from Kansas. Because Kansas gave us sunflowers and Pizza Hut and all those things, Gail and Bill. It's decidedly exciting. I'm ready for Mike to spit.
Already did.
You did? I was hoping you'd walk us through the process. How many are in your mouth right now? Sunflower seeds.
I just spit again.
That was, if that's how you're spitting at the ballpark, they're going to call, like, help, because you just sort of let it fall out of your mouth.
Well, that's what he's working on.
Like a stroke victim.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't say that. Yeah. It should be more like
more distance.
Yeah, like.
I am not a, I was going to accept the ball player version of just sucking the salt off and spitting out the seeds. Not going to happen. I like the seed flavor.
Mm-hmm. You like the challenge, too.
I like a good challenge. Excuse me, what's wrong with me?
Well, you've just put a mouthful of salty seeds right in the gullet. That's what's wrong.
Come on, Michael. Slow it down. Slow it down a little bit.
What about the location of his head?
Thanks.
Well, that's the umpire.
Thanks for bringing that up.
The umpire that missed that strike call.
That's right.
Because he couldn't see it.
That's right, because he was old.
No, I said it to my kids. Go to third. Get now, your head out
you,
of your ass.
And didn't you blame the ump for being too old?
There's just something about Kansas City is brought to you.
You look back on that, you just go.
And if they're still interested and you want to do it, do it. But he said, I would go ahead and get my college education.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, thank that you. Was I, welcome to the show. Before we get to Rob's unfinished business, mm-hmm. I promised you limericks.
Yes, dirty now, ones.
I have some that I've committed to memory, but I'm not going to do those because those are a little weird. Not weird, but just a little too filthy. And I know there are people saying, oh, come on. But I found a couple here that I had never seen before.
I love the fact that you're expanding.
And they're pretty damn fine.
Good.
This really comes fine. From a guy, not related to the show, but Ben Wagoner, who shares this one. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
There once was a lady from Deal whose vagina was made out of steel. To give her a thrill, took a rotary drill and an A20 Emery wheel.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that nice?
And you know what's great about that? It involves technical know-how.
You're going to love the second one.
Oh,
the second
great.
One is for you. And since this is Rob's unfinished business, I'm telling you this combines the magic of limerick and the magic of punstery.
Oh, I love it.
At the same time. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sunflower seeds have definitely affected the old throat. All right. A young psychic midget named Marge went to jail on a serious charge. But despite lock and key, the lady broke free. And the news said, small, medium, at large.
Perfect. And that, you know what? He had the joke and he worked backwards from it. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. Oh, I love that.
And now for those of you that like the smut, we don't leave you out either.
Thank you.
There once was a hermit named Dave who kept a dead whore in his cave.
Oh, God.
He said, I admit, I'm a bit of a shit, but just look at the money I save. There you go. That's, thank you. All right. There once was a lady from Leith who circumcised men with her teeth.
Oh.
She didn't do it for leisure or sexual pleasure, but to get at the cheese underneath. Oh, my God. I know I should have pre-read these. I know. Oh, that is so nasty.
Really bad.
All right.
Mike, that is, you may be canceled for that.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese.
That's nasty.
I love cheese. Dogs love cheese.
There once was a young lady from Wheeling who said she had no sexual feeling till a young man named Boris touched her clitoris. And she had to be scraped from the ceiling.
That's maybe my favorite.
Oh my!
Because it tells a story and someone who's bettered themselves.
All right. One more.
Right.
Maybe two more.
Yeah, you never can tell, Josh.
There was a young man from Bear Pass whose balls were made out of brass. When they tinkled together, they played Stormy Weather. And lightning shot out of his ass.
Now that's like science fiction. That's a very exciting limerick.
I'm enjoying it. I found, you know, when you're just tooling around, sometimes you find some good stuff. Let me see if this one's working. All right.
Imagine a man with lightning coming out of his ass.
All right.
That would really be something, isn't it?
Now, these towns might be British. And
they
sound
always
like,
seem to be.
They seem to be British, and the Brits have the handle on this much more than we do. There once was a lady from Reims who amazingly pissed in four streams. A friend poked around and a coat button found wedged tightly in one of her seams. that wasn't that good. I don't want to leave on that.
No, we need one more. But that is great because it starts with a... almost like a scientific hypothesis. Why would this woman pee in four streams? And it turns out it's the buttonhole. It gives you the solution. Have you found one?
They're all dirty.
Dirty is okay.
I don't like the C word on the show. That's old fashioned.
I don't either.
All right.
Josh loves it.
Mm-hmm.
He's always yelling it at his son's baseball games. Is it?
No,
is
that's
it something
not a limerick. It's not working. So they we're out of that.
You got to find one, or Rob's going to start explaining the breakdown again.
Yes.
And what I don't want means. That to happen. What I want is your favorite things, and we've delayed long enough, Rob.
Oh, so should we begin?
It's time for you to get to work. All right. Let's go. Take it
Mike,
away.
Mike, these items are my unfinished business. These are the things that I internalize, and they bother me.
Okay.
Let us start with the anxiety I'm feeling right now with my son graduating. And I think it's coming from him as well. And he actually was very smart in the way he explained it to me because he was just home for a few days.
Why anxiety? I'm curious.
Yeah, because he said to me, he said, Dad, I don't know. I just can't wait to get out of there. But
get out of school?
Yeah, he wants to leave Morgantown. He wants to get started with the next part of his life. But he says, but
now there's pressure.
For 13 years, I've been told what to do. You drop me off at preschool, then kindergarten, then I went to elementary school, middle school.
Sounds like it's his anxiety.
Yeah, but it's transferring to me because I keep trying to tell him, like one thing he's anxious about is the school is not being very forthcoming with the arrangements. There's no walkthrough, quote unquote, rehearsal for what they're going to do. And it's going to be huge. Thousands of kids, right? At least a thousand.
University of, West Virginia. Yeah.
They break them up into schools, but still it's going to be massive. He's nervous about doing that. He says he doesn't like being the absolute center of attention, which is flipping him out a little bit. And he doesn't know what's going to happen. And he doesn't know what is ahead of him. And I keep telling him, I say, son, don't worry about the graduation. They do a dozen of them every year for the last 200 years. They're going to get it right, and you're going to do fine.
Just don't try to make it about yourself.
No.
There's always you know what a video might help around him? This time of year where a kid tries to do like a backflip on stage or something.
Yeah, I know, and they get some of them get in trouble for it.
And injured, yeah. But
why don't you share, why don't you just, to calm him down, share a limerick with him?
But I don't know any limericks, Mike.
There once was a young man from Australia who painted his ass like a dahlia. Though the colors were true and the shape of it too, the aroma, well, that was a failure.
Thank you. Sorry.
I don't know if that would help him.
So
but
I'm trying to remember if my graduation was, where they didn't let me know what was going on. Does he know where to look?
Yeah, and he'll find out, I think, today. He'll find out today, but he's anxious leading up to that. He's very empathetic. And
has he gotten all his schoolwork done?
He has two more classes to do online, but he gets to walk because they're almost throwaway classes. So he'll be ready to go, and he'll be graduating with close to a 3.5. I think maybe a little above that. So
B plus.
Can't be any happier with that. But when he gets anxious, I get anxious. And I'm thinking about the graduation always. And like yesterday, I went to a parking garage, and the guy comes out. I don't know the guy. I give him my card. And he says, how are you today? And my reply without even thinking was, my son is graduating. And he looked at me like, okay.
Thanks
but
for
I
sharing.
Mean, right. Yeah, I'm, it's really, and I don't recall it being this way with Julia. And
it's
I think
because it's the youngest.
It's the youngest. And also, I mean, all he went through with his cancer treatment and all stuff like that. This is such a victory for him and a victory for me and Carrie. And I just want it to be good for him. And so I want to keep telling him, his son, don't forget to have a good time. This is a celebration of you, even though you don't want to be the center of attention. Well, you're going to be among thousands. You're going to be fine. But look at what you've done in 4 short years. Look at how you've grown in 4 short years. And he's just feeling a little pressure. So that's on my mind, too. But I did, and I hope he won't listen to the bonus. I sent him a gift that I think he will like.
I felt a lot of pressure, too, because my mom and dad said to me, well, you're on your own now. So they said that to me before I started college. They said I was going to be on my own.
Wow. So you weren't?
Yeah, that was made very clear to
me.
Did
you ever come back home after you graduated?
No.
Wow.
No, I worked. I worked at a commercial radio station right out of college my junior year, and then I just kept working, and then I found an apartment.
Yeah,
and I worked right from the that's
I stayed
changed.
I stayed at home a lot, and as you know, Robert is reconfiguring the upstairs to suit his needs,
right.
And I
you
couldn't be any more
rooms,
happy. Yeah, couldn't be any more happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's we're excited about that. But he's doing okay, and what I did yesterday, I didn't get a chance to see him leave when he was home because we were on the air and he was in a hurry to get up there. And so I have a gift for him that I think will ease his mind a little bit. Right before Julia walked, I gave her my VCU class ring. And she wore that when she walked the stage. I was very proud of that because we were 30 years apart at VCU. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything from WVU, but what I do have is Big Daddy's watch, his pocket watch. And Big Daddy, my grandfather, was, or as Robert called him, Cubby, he was so into all of Robert's treatment from the diagnosis to the end. He yep. loved that kid. We lived with mm-hmm. him, and he watched him, and he dealt with all the stuff, and he was just amazing. So I FedExed last night my grandfather's pocket watch so he can carry it.
Do you find it a moment of closure for you personally where you now are emotional because of what he went through? I've been with you for the whole ride where
yeah.
he
you remember the diagnosis?
Pediatric leukemia
mm-hmm.
and he came through it, and right after I started doing the show on my own with Rob, we had Rob's fleet of doctors in, Josh, and it was really a special show to have them talk about the treatment and talk about the progress that's been made in that area. And it was special. It was
if we don't
show.
Run any music on it, I have the episode with Dr. Greenberg mm-hmm. From WG. I would like to maybe put that out as an extra because it was really important to me and huge. Mm-hmm. And there's moments of mini closure on along the way, but it's a closure, but not necessarily a happy one because he's really, really growing up. And that's got me flipped out a little
bit.
Well,
and I think that's a parent thing at different stages.
Could be.
Because we're having that conversation here because our youngest kids are leaving elementary school.
Yeah, that's big. Middle school is scary.
And my middle child, I have high school graduation on Tuesday to go to for her.
Wow.
So it's I think it's a parent thing where you realize also, like, did I do a good job raising these kids?
You know, it's interesting.
And I second guess myself all the time because, you know,
well,
I was drinking for his whole life.
Yeah, but you've got a, you know, it's an age thing too. I mean, you're going to be fine. And if I get to the college graduation, mm-hmm. It will symbolize the fact that I made it. I can't even begin to tell you the emotions that I may feel when that time comes. Because
it's
it is
scary.
Just, but I mean, the idea of, you talk about closure.
Yeah.
Well, my kid will graduate very close to my final curtain, and that
will
be.
You say that. I don't buy that.
You know how
well,
you
no,
should
I mean,
prepare
no, let's
for
be
that.
Honest. If I live to be 80, that would be a very nice lifespan. And, you know, and to be in my mid 70s, or actually late 70s when he graduates, that would be
mid 70s, early 70s for high school and late 70s for college.
Yeah, but
you
then
know,
the doctorate.
I saw a story today about
he
a young
goes
man.
To med school.
Yes.
It'll be pretty official.
You need to read the new Jake Tapper book to prepare for then.
Yeah. You know what? If he goes to med school, it'll be a race to see if he can graduate in time to help you.
To help me.
I think he'll make it. But anyway,
I'm addicted to him. Mm-hmm.
I love him so much, and it's just so totally on my mind right now. Here's a message to General Mills. It's a big company, Mike. There's no reason not to put Frankenberries out all year round. I have to only get them and stock up at Halloween. And you can keep your Fruit Brute, you can keep your Count Chocula, your Boo Berry, your Yummy Mummy. Frankenberry is the greatest cereal, and they should be selling it all year round. I don't get bothered by a lot of other seasonal stuff. But that they need to do all year round as a courtesy. If they're going to
do
one
really
cereal.
Do you really stock up on Frankenberry to last year until next Halloween?
Well, no, not that many, but I'll buy like 5 or 6 boxes.
So when I say to you, come up with unfinished business.
Yeah.
That's your second next to your son graduating college.
Mike, I had a stream of consciousness right
You're
now.
You're a simple man.
I am. Carrie, when we're watching TV.
Oh, does Carrie get as into, is she as into the graduating situation as you are?
She's more into the business angle of it. She's excited last night that she got a dinner reservation.
Is she betting on it?
Yeah, she probably is. No.
How is she doing with her wagering?
She is not as high up as she was, but she has.
Season hurts.
She realized a lot of money that she wisely took out, and she has it now. It's not bettable money. So she's doing okay. And but it's always almost had it. Almost had it. Almost mm-hmm. had it.
So does she is she pragmatic about the issue of graduating and what he'll be able to do with it and stuff?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah. Well, her deal is that she wants to make sure that the whole family is there and that we have a place to stay.
Okay.
And that,
right.
And she's an organizer. Yeah.
But
yeah.
What about moving into the house?
Oh, she loves it. Are you kidding? Okay. That's her baby boy. She loves
is that,
it.
Does that put some extra pressure on the Caps need to win so they can watch the games together next week?
Yes. It's huge. Are you kidding me? I'll be subscribing for another month of the Monumental app.
It is the new app. Reality that many, 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 many more kids are moving back home after they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And we will
charge him a little bit of rent. How about that? Not much, but
I
you know,
some parents do that. I think that's not unacceptable. Let me ask you this about... You hear so much nowadays, more than certainly when we grew up, mm-hmm. about the value of a college education. For so long, it's been the standard that you
right.
know, I'm the first one in my family to graduate college, or I do that. As far as the value of both your daughter and your sons, where do you line up on that?
I think that Julia is very qualified for her current job as a barista at a vegan coffee shop. That was a good choice. However, on the plus column, she's also still literally working for the university where she runs their print shop. And so she's in touch with her professors and the equipment and all that stuff. Julia is doing something that neither you or I had the opportunity to do, which was sort of slack off a little bit after graduation. Because you remember, I graduated into employment at WJFK. Mm-hmm. And you graduated to your full-time job. And mm-hmm. Julia is taking it easy. And bless her heart. You know what? She's happy. She's making good money. She doesn't ask us for cash. And when she finds a proper job as a graphic designer, and you've seen her work, she's great. But mm-hmm. when she finds the proper outlet for it, she's going to be dynamite.
Is she looking or enjoying what she's doing now?
She's enjoying, but she always has her eyes open. I know that sometime back she applied to be an ad designer for Philip Morris, and she was conflicted because, selling cigarettes, but it was a perfect job.
Or she could sell sunflower seeds.
But she has got that beautiful eye for just design, and you've seen examples of it, so I think she's going to do good. Now, what started to happen when I was in college.
But
is
I mean, the question more directly,
yeah.
Do you believe that it's something that's as needed as it is it needed at all?
Yeah, it is. Because you need ingredients to put into AI, I think.
And I struggle with that one because I am not a college graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very successful without college.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, especially with my daughter, it bugs me because she's going down that graphic design path as well.
Right.
And I'm like, well, if you just spent more time focused on that in your free time, you could probably figure these things out without college. Like, college is helpful.
Yeah.
But life experience goes a long way, too.
But also, college is great for easing a kid into the real world because they're away from home. And
yeah, the social skills and growing up.
And that's more important, yes. I think, than the learning for the kid is the way that they're sort of eased in to the real world. Now, Robert, he's had a great internship. In a lot of ways, his college time has sort of mirrored mine because after his junior year, he got the internship that he's always dreamed of, as did I with Mike at the Don and Mike show. So that's sort of the same. He's in touch with Monumental and he hopes to go there, but he's already been offered a job that he can do remotely to run social media. It's not a career job, but it's a job to run social
media.
That's
what they all are, it
seems
to me. It
could be a career
job. And my daughters went through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it prepares you for a lot of things as far as being worldly and knowledgeable. And unfortunately, that is going by the by.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting a lot more of, no offense, graphic design, theater, certain degrees that are not directly related to succeeding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not trying to, well, believe me, we live in an anti-intellectual world right now, but when
what
you
is
talk
it your
about,
actual major? Is it communications?
Broadcast journalism.
Okay. And mine is broadcasting too, but under the school of communications. And so the stuff we learned, I think is more widely applicable than, say, that of an artist. An artist is going to be a little more
focused. If you talk to successful people, entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
people in the investment business, people that have run their own companies, people that are in high finance. And I happen to hang out down here with a lot of retired guys that all did it this way. And whether it be professionals, doctors and lawyers, the difference with that is there is that plan. And the plan starts with undergrad, then a graduate degree, in some cases, furthering in med or law and all of that, or business degrees, yeah. advanced MBAs, where they do. And the difference between that and the vast majority of college kids that, let's call a spade here, take gut majors, they don't.
The general studies.
They don't have to work hard. And right. and then they end up surprised, like my daughters have in some cases, that they're not reaping the financial rewards. Well, they're not reaping the financial because there isn't any. The value is placed on doing things that most people can't.
Yeah.
And I tell my son.
I think trade school is going to be huge.
I think if you do a trade school,
it's great.
But if you are going to, I think, maximize college, and this is what I say to my son, get ready to if you really want to take it, you go to the best school you can get into,
mm-hmm.
you major in something that is difficult, that requires a lot of work, and then when you come out on the other side, because of that effort, you will immediately, hopefully, get the rewards. But we are, God, the money that is spent in the United States for something that doesn't translate. Nobody values education more than I do. An educated man or woman, to sit down and have a conversation with them is really spectacular because people are just knowledgeable. They can express their thoughts. They can share that. But at the same time, look at college and look what it churns out.
I think,
in general.
Yeah.
It's not a guaranteed success.
No.
Is the point I'm trying to make.
It's evolved to that. And I think that when you went to college, when I went to college, it was still the required next step. You know, it had that reputation. It hadn't been diluted yet to the importance of a degree. And for me, college was, getting the internship. And that was the road to my whatever I've turned into. I took the classes. I almost got a minor in history, but I didn't want to hassle it, which I regret now. Yeah.
And that's where we all are as a society.
I regret it.
I mean, I'm not trying to make this overly philosophical as far as my philosophy of life, but I found in my own education that the concept of getting by.
Yeah.
And doing enough and cramming and doing all that, it's just not.
You're not getting
valuable.
Your value. You're not getting
it's
your
not
value.
Valuable.
You're right.
There's no value in it.
That's why I don't have a college degree. I went to college for 2 years. I went away. I went to school. I changed my majors 2-3 times. Found, I don't want any of these majors. And I went to trade school instead.
Mm-hmm.
To do audio engineering.
When did you make that pivot?
Last week.
At the age of 20.
Okay.
I went away to a college for the freshman year. Then I came back and did a year at the community college and then pivoted to, I want to do this audio engineering.
I admire that. It was a direct way to get into what you excel at, what you
did
love,
you find,
what you have a passion for.
Did you find it intimidating that most people in your college classes were pronouncing their G's?
No, because I went to a Georgia, Tennessee college where no one could talk anyway.
Yeah, it was called the University of Studying.
I did. At one point, I said, well, maybe I want to be a teacher.
Okay.
And they put me.
Isn't that your brother? Isn't your brother a teacher?
My brother is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So
I should say, not a teacher.
So my freshman year, I was at Covenant College, which is in Lookout Mountain, Georgia.
Religious school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A lot of praying.
It's right on the border of Tennessee and Georgia. While you're going down the mountain, you just flip flop between states.
Mm-hmm. That's fun, right?
So I'm in a educational department, and I have to do every Thursday, I have to drive down the mountain and go to the school and be a assistant to the English teacher.
Yep.
Here's the problem.
Oh, my God.
Here's the problem. This school was in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't in a big town like Chattanooga that was nearby.
Oh, right. Not a bustling metropolis like Chattanooga.
No, this was a small school in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And the problem was...
Sounds like it's in Appalachia.
It was basically...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The problem was the kids had trouble understanding me, and I could not understand the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the thick Southern accent?
The thick Southern accent and then my Northern Baltimore accent.
Yeah. And not much overlap. Sure, if you were to do a Venn diagram, Mike, not much overlap.
No, not much overlap. No. And I'm sure my Baltimore accent was worse then.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a problem where I realized, oh, this might not work out.
Yeah, yeah.
How did the teacher treat you? Did the teacher value you at all?
Yeah, she was nice, but I mostly...
Oh, she? Yeah. Was she pretty?
Was she younger?
No, she was older. I was in college. Okay. She was a teacher.
Yeah, but I mean, was she a young teacher?
No, I believe she was older. It's hard to remember.
Yeah. Did she have piercing eyes?
No.
Rob and I are trying immediately to put that Cinemax thing
I think we learned that I was better using my time grading papers and doing and helping kids out with stuff like that in the classroom rather than up front trying to
lecturing.
Read a book or teach.
Yeah. And you've taken some of that into your when you do audio for your camps. I mean, you're dealing with kids and you're still a teacher of some report, right?
Since then, I've done lots of teaching and lots of, especially in the church world, mm-hmm. lots of youth ministry and lead-in talks and everything like that.
Yeah, so I look at this. You like this. You like expressing yourself.
Yeah.
You love expressing yourself.
I definitely talk. I just could not talk the same
language
as
kids in
Georgia.
That's why I found you so fascinating when you joined us a year ago, because it is, the way you communicate is so uniquely you.
It is.
But you don't let anything get in the way. And you're, I don't want to use the word ambition, but it might be called ambition. Your drive is something that has always intrigued me. Mm-hmm. It has always intrigued me because you power through all that other stuff because you want what you want. And I think that's an important thing to do. But opening your eyes and making that pivot to trade school is no longer something that would be completely blown off by parents that were college educated.
No.
I think there are parents now that would go, well, you have a point there because you can get right into the workforce.
The next
we have
time
a family member that was went into electrician work and, boom, boom, boom. Right there.
Well, the next time you write a $700 check to have your AC repaired. Mm-hmm. Think of that. That's got to go somewhere.
And but I would tell you
also
that $700 goes primarily to the owner of that company as opposed to the guy that's out there
ultimately,
sweating.
Ultimately, if they go out on their own, then they've got the experience and they got it.
Well, that's therein lies the rub.
Yeah,
yeah, those trade guys, after many years, make good money. But mm-hmm. I then became, because I then did so much high school youth ministry, I became the example for the other parents when their high schoolers were like not ready for college of, well, maybe it's okay if you don't go to college.
Oh, so in a positive way, though.
Because Josh is turned out
great without college. Did you ever, I've never asked you this, I don't think, did you ever entertain going into the ministry full time and like being a preacher?
That is a good question, yeah.
Little thoughts of it. After.
I've done it many times.
Yes, you
thoughts
have.
Thoughts of it as an adult and same thoughts I have had about going back and getting a college degree. Mm-hmm. And then decide it's worthless for me.
Yeah,
it's valuable for other people, for my path and what I want to do.
You know, Josh, Jackie Mason started out as a rabbi, and then the siren call of showbiz called him. Maybe you could be a rabbi.
But you'll find also with higher education that all the degrees in the world, advanced or not, are not going to necessarily make you on time. I don't know
God,
how that crept
let
up.
It out.
That's
man.
Not part of business school.
No. All right. My next thing that concerns me that I get off my unfinished
Thank
business.
Thank you for
list.
Jumping right out of that. I didn't want to dwell on that either. Good stuff. Thank you.
It also has to do with Josh a little bit.
Okay.
I am sick and tired of the overwhelming diversity in our country to a point where people have come to me, and this is not about Josh, but people have
Did
come to me.
Did you say what I just think you said? The overwhelming diversity? Yeah, like, are you a racist?
Sorry.
Are you
a bigot? No. Yes. I meant to say divisiveness. Forgive me. Okay, I'm glad you were there to catch me.
I think we know where you stand, yeah. Rob Spiewak.
A little Leesburg leaked out.
Yes, I think just your unfinished business is, I'm fine with the Costco in my backyard, and I don't want them coming to my neighborhood.
Right. There's no them, Mike. I welcome all, and I just misspoke. But what I'm saying is this, is people will come up to me and say, well, I found out that this guy was a Trumper or this guy's a MAGA guy, so I can't even associate with him, can't talk to him, he can't be my friend. And that makes me crazy because that divisiveness is what's got us here now. And
it must, by the way, can I say this?
Yeah.
It must be nice. I don't have the option to think like that.
Right.
I work with a guy who I value, Josh Soroka, whose politics are different than mine, and my social life, primarily outside of my home, is golf with my friends who I play golf with, and they're almost exclusively on the right. Now, not all MAGA right, but on the right.
Yeah.
So,
are you still golfing with this guy?
It's really interesting. And some guys are just very happy with what they... Yeah. What they have and who.
I can't get what past this conversation and how you two are talking about being around people with other political views with how Rob set it up as diversity. You could use the exact same words and phrases about who you're around.
Okay. I apologize from the bottom of my soul for that misspeak. But I think, don't you think everyone would be happier overall if we put our politics aside and we're just nice people to each other? I can't tell you how to vote. I don't want to tell you how to vote. I know how I vote, and that's great, and I will show it. I will put a sign in my yard. I will vote my candidate every election, local or otherwise. But outside of that, why are you shutting these people out of your life? I hate it. Because, I mean, and Josh was enlightening to me because he's such a good guy, a family guy. He's not twisted and broken like other people that you may have seen or thought are twisted.
No, he's just remarkably closed-minded, though.
Well, no, I don't know if he's closed-minded.
News, that's a joke. I'm making a joke.
With 4 years, it's just a setup for us to destroy the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's the problem, is they've hyped it up to the point that, and they did it on both sides while Biden was president. Oh, he's going to destroy the country in 4 years. Trump is going to destroy the country. No one can destroy
the
country in
4 years.
That
seems to be the new mantra of elections, that, you know, this is the end of time is coming.
Yes.
If you vote. And I think you bring up and if people get pissed at me, so be it.
But if people get pissed at me too,
I think you bring up a good point with that. I don't think that's true. And I think the people that would say that don't think it's true on either side. Because
no,
I think we
points.
All know, because we sit there and we go, blah, 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 this is going to die, we're going to die, blah, blah, blah. But it's not going to be the end of time. But on the left, being in the losing camp, I don't know how to get past people that think like MAGA Republicans.
Well,
I don't know
how. It's not on you, it's on them, because they continually poke at you with their agenda. And trust me, there are plenty other things you can talk about on a golf course other than who's president or what's going on. Talk about Mike's Chinese golf shoes. Lovely discussion.
But I was thinking more in terms, Rob, when I was saying that, of politics and the people that are the power brokers and what candidates need to do or say to get and I will take this out of the Democrat-Republican camp and put it into the moderate extremist camp. I don't know what moderates now would need to do to get back in power, either Republican or Democrat. I don't know how it can be accomplished, because the radical side of one party is so powerful in that party. And I don't know how you win. It just seems to me that
we have been
I want stability.
Cycles.
I want subsidy. We have, but nothing like this.
Nothing like this. But also, no, Mike, we're a relatively young country.
I know.
And we are going to see these cycles, and I believe that we will get out of this nonsense. It's going to take a while. People are going to have to change their minds.
Well, it's not going to take a while, to be honest. I think it's going to be predicated on one dude.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think anyone, and I love to, I think I've probably asked you this before, Josh. When he's done, regardless, Father Time waits for no one. When he's done.
Yeah, after the third term.
Do you think he...
I'm just kidding. There's no third term.
He'd like it. When he's done, do you think the radicalism and the extremism dies with him?
I think there's been radicalism on both sides.
I'm not asking for that.
No. I'm getting to it. On for both sides in many years. I really think it's not the politics. I really think the pandemic broke us as a country on how to interact with people, how to socialize with people instead of just blame and attack. And I think it's time. I think even if he's done and he does a great job and J.D. Vance swoops in there once, it's interesting. I think yes, but I also saw how when it looked like DeSantis was going to be the nominee instead of Trump, I saw all the news turn and say, well, DeSantis is worse than Trump. So I think it's going to have to take really TV ratings to crash.
Does anyone have
people are tired of these?
So hold on, Rob. Let me just make sure I've got this straight here. The way you're talking sounds like you, as a supporter, you think the movement will continue. Because you mentioned, you mentioned within one speech here, three of the alternatives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, like to see it continue.
No, I don't. I think people and us as humans will get tired of, and I think after 4 years of Trump and the country's still fine, maybe we'll start to calm down and maybe the rhetoric that Republicans are Nazis and the rhetoric that one person's going to destroy the country over 4 years, we might grow tired as a society about that and be able to move on.
But if they're saying that it's because of one person.
I agree with you. Well, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
And if when they lose it, they don't have someone who is so easy to compartmentalize and buttonhole as a charismatic leader.
But
everyone knew who Trump is or was.
But I think it's also news media. And news media is making so much money now and so much eyeballs they know they have to promote that and praise
love
the hatred because it works for
them. They love the show. The people that get on the news are the ones that give us the loudest, meanest, biggest show.
But they can't manufacture the kind of, I think, national excitement that they do now if they have a J.D. Vance at the front of the ticket.
And that's what I think they were struggling with DeSantis, and that's why I brought that up, where they were trying to say he's worse than Trump because they panicked and realized, well, if Trump's not there, what do we do about our ratings? How do we get everyone to tune in?
I really think that's part of it. It's either going to be a return to civility and normalcy, or you're going to get the next loudest dude who might be related to the former president.
I hope
or not. The president, I should say.
Junior didn't work to earn that, but I do think, like at Fox News, I think they are excited at the prospect of AOC running, because they can easily push against her and build their ratings up on that. And I think we need something to change where it's not driven by hate.
Mm. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, that sort of brings out what I started up front, is that just because people believe something doesn't automatically make them hateful. And I would like to see some good feelings around. It would help me.
I joke. I socialize. I drink. I hobnob with people that
with your brother wizards
with people who are different than me politically,
and they don't even make you wear the hood.
But with that said, all joking aside, with that said, there are people I don't know who I don't socialize with that treat me as a one-trick pony, that have no other way of interacting with me.
They're more evil than the others.
And those people are, I say, fuck you to those people. Because you don't know me. You don't know who I am. You're certainly not a friend of mine. And if you want to really light my candle, be someone I don't know who knows my politics because of all the joking that other people give me and comes up. And it's happened on one occasion It couldn't happen on two. I was not in the situation where that would happen. But a guy that's telling me jokes about, you know, and they're always the same horrible, stupid jokes about, mm-hmm. oh, maybe we could just talk about it. You know, that kind of punchline where it's like, yeah. and the Democrats said, maybe we could just talk about it and then something will happen. That kind of bullshit. And it's just that narrative of all Democrats are talkers, don't do anything real, are weak and stuff. Yeah, there are Democrats that have made incredible contributions to our society. But in the thimble brain sector,
yeah,
no one can get out of that that mindset that it's all bad, all negative.
And also, if these are people that really don't have a relationship with you, put a meter on how rude that is to just come up and, yeah.
There you are. I mean, really, there you are. And telling the joke loudly from the bar area over to the table I'm sitting
making
at.
Making it about him.
Making it a little show for his pals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fuck
all right.
Well, and I have trouble taking anyone serious that can't see the political mess and problems on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good. There's too much money and everything involved that there's corruption on both sides.
I'm sure.
I will concede that point, but I will also say that right now you focus on the people that are in power and you focus on the people who won and the people who are pulling the strings right now. And then when it gets back to perhaps a better balance, then we can speak about that a little bit more.
In the meantime, can we just be civil? That's all I want. I want people to be people.
How about this? Yeah, we can. You know how we do it?
How?
Be funnier. Be funnier. Don't be serious about it. Be funny. Make a joke. And
I thought you were talking about this show.
No. Be funny. Be fucking funny. And people are saying, well, you're not doing that right now, because we do every now and then. And we have to, because everybody talks about this. They all do. So we're allowed as well as anybody else. It's not all. And by the way, I think with five shows a week, I think we are more. We more than help ourselves by getting this out the way we feel, because it's not done. We don't make it a cornerstone of this show. But when we talk about it, you got three guys with interesting points of view, and I let it happen. And I'd say the same thing to people that are bitching about this. Bring the funny. Bring the fuck off, too. We bring plenty of funny. We really do.
Yeah.
And so a lot of fuck yous from me today, but sometimes that's
what happens when we do Rob's unfinished business. Now,
amen.
The president ostensibly lives in Washington, D.C., in the White House.
Yep.
I know he doesn't spend a lot of time
when
there.
When he's not golfing.
That's right. And so I've been thinking about it, and I saw a survey come across my desk today that listed the top places for a summer vacation, and Washington, D.C. made the top three. I must say to anyone within the sound of my voice,
summertime,
do not come to Washington, D.C.
Oh, but I want to see the cherry blossoms.
Okay, that's the first, and that's when it starts. Cherry blossoms suck, okay? They shut our city down, and they don't smell good. Up close, they're not that remarkable. You're not allowed to touch them, and you can't do anything.
And
a horrible location. And speaking of which, they're right by the Jefferson Memorial. That's a suck memorial. I'm not buying it, because you got all those columns and all
that. Throw the weather in.
And Mike, and you go in.
Summer in Washington, it's a swamp.
Well, I haven't even gotten to that yet. But right. I mean, and you've got a bronze statue of Thomas Jefferson, and people don't know this, actual size. That was his height. And
may I offer this?
Yes.
If you want to get a little of your history, as opposed to the memorial, which I agree with Rob is the weakest of the memorials in Washington,
by far,
D.C.
By far.
I have my list of the things you should see when you come to Washington. Mm-hmm. One of the things is far outside of Washington, and that's down outside of Charlottesville, Virginia, and that is Monticello, Thomas Jefferson's home. If you want to see a worthwhile piece of real history
Can
actually get within 2 feet of and see the way the man worked and the way the man created and the way the man invented and dirty pictures of what he did with the people, his slaves.
Sally Hemings.
No. I have to say that is one of my all-time favorite historical moments.
And what's great about Charlottesville, not built on a swamp below sea level. So in the summertime, it doesn't smell like pee.
I'm with you 100%.
And it's not 1,000 degrees, and it's not humid. And know this, I love this country, but Washington, D.C. genuinely sucks. When I bring people from out of town to go into the city to do the standard drive like up Constitution Avenue so they can see everything, and they're saying, why are the roads so beat up? And I say, because it's a shitty infrastructure. And they said, but it's the nation's capital. And I say,
doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. The whole city sucks.
And if I can give you my list when you get here.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remember the people seriously that, and it's not trite for me to say or anybody to say the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the Vietnam Memorial and the Arlington National Cemetery.
Oh, the cemetery are, is I think striking.
Should be in the top two on your list, followed by
the World War II Memorial. And the World War II Memorial is beautiful.
The World War II Memorial, which is kind of a, oddly enough, a late addition to that, which is kind of strange. But those memorials, especially, and if you want me to throw out the most important, I think Arlington Cemetery. And feel free.
Beautiful.
I give everyone permission. If you see the kids' field trip or the camp field trip with the kids cutting up inside the cemetery, you don't have to scream and yell, but why don't you remind them?
Yeah.
Where the fuck they are. Since their chaperones or teachers can't do it, I would say you should do it.
I would say literally the most hallowed ground in the continental United States.
Something that if you ever have the opportunity to come to Washington, D.C., that should be number one on your list because it is a way to convey respect by just being there. And also you can get it gives you a sense of what it's all about and what sacrificing your life
the miles of tombstones
country. It's amazing.
It really gets you.
It's amazing. That's
another recommendation. If you must come to DC, many people overlook the National Cathedral, and it is stunning. I mean, I've been to the cathedrals of Europe, and this is just as impressive. And there's parking there, and it's inside. So try that. Okay.
Before the monuments, I like Lincoln.
Lincoln's number one.
I think that's
we agree on Lincoln being
absolutely
the number one?
Absolutely. Yes. The most beautiful of them all. And the other.
And I don't think I desecrated the ground at American University when I made out with a girl on the backside of the Lincoln Memorial.
No, are you sure it was
a young man at the time? What's that?
I'm You're sure it was a girl.
It was a girl. Yes,
that might have been more appropriate at the Jefferson. Hey, now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. They got a lot of people getting jiggy with it down there.
Or take her down to Mount Vernon.
Yeah. Oh, Mount Vernon. Thank you.
Half the name is Mount.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Thank you.
Okay, so don't come to D.C. Mike, when I sit down and I have maybe made dinner or, just it's the end of the day and I sit down on the couch and I turn on the TV, Carrie, don't talk to me. Don't talk. Don't talk. When I hit play.
Now I have to disagree here. This is terrible.
Why?
This is terrible. Because I think you got in trouble by your lack of communication in your marriage and your behavior. And I think that
I should be the one to talk then.
Well,
not her.
But you should be more communicative.
I think you've got to make up for many years where you weren't listening.
Yep.
What's that?
You do. You have no right. You have no right, Rob Spiewak. You have no right.
Okay.
Your wife has put up with you and that behavior, and you know it frustrated her. And let her talk to her spouse.
Whatever movie you're watching, you've already seen 100 times.
Exactly.
Why wait till I hit play to start talking?
Hit play on one of your 1920 movies?
No, I mean we were watching something current last night. We were watching The Rehearsal with
the Brady
Nathan.
Bunch.
Mike, did I save the fucking Brady Bunch?
No, you don't want her to talk to you? That's horrible.
If I'm watching a show, there are better times to talk. There are. And also, every time I leave...
How are you familiar with this little button on a remote called the pause button?
Mike...
I use it constantly in my home.
This is why it's when I unpause. It's almost like the button is designed to unpause the video and cue Carrie to talk.
Now, see, you need to use mic technique.
Mm-hmm.
Headphones.
Yeah.
Then they can talk and you don't even hear them.
You know what? My wife, because of the nature of what she does for a living with online business and online consulting and phone consulting, she's pretty much at it all the time. And those, Josh got the knockoffs. How much did you have to pay for those
AirPod
Maxes, right?
$130.
And you still think they're just as good as... They're fantastic.
Yeah, maybe that would cure it.
the headphones would be a solution, and you wouldn't have to be, you know, just nakedly cruel and rude like you're being.
It's also
right now
very clear. Don't bother me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, don't talk to me. But if you really need to talk to me, you have to get my attention.
Is and that's what I get. And I'll get like a slap on the shoulder, or I'll get a, I'll hear, Mike. And I'll say, and then I would be lying. I want a full disclosure. When I take that right earpiece, I leave the left one on. When I take that right earpiece off,
yes,
many times it'll be a, yeah. That's the tone I'll take yeah. when I have
is that more effective than just not responding for over 30 years, having the headphones on?
Did you not respond for?
Well, I mean, that's been my practice is to avoid response. Yeah,
headphones is better than alcoholism. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow. And wow, he's crueler than I am.
Yeah, you can quote him on that. Also, sort of on the same thing.
Yeah.
If I leave the TV on something sort of non-committal, something that we're not really into, and I go downstairs for, say, a moment, Carrie, and all of the world, stop watching 90 Day Fiancé. It's the worst show
She'll
on
click
television.
Back to it?
Yes.
And so, see.
But what about 90 Day Island?
90 Day Island can suck my dick. They're all terrible shows.
Oh,
and they weaken
God.
The nation every time someone watches them.
I probably have one up on you in that the show that's similar to that in our house is Survivor.
God, is she still with that?
Always. And God. Goes into the marital bedroom to watch her Survivor.
Have a little moment with Jeff Probst.
If I happen to go in there at the wrong time and I have to go with her programming, I can, you know, within 15, 20 seconds, probably handle a good chunk of Survivor. And I've done that before. I don't know if I could with any of the other.
But isn't it in like its 60th season? Because they do like weird season blocking?
I think it's
blocking?
Like 49. I think 50's
Jeff Probst is now, Jeff Probst is dividing his time between Survivor and also doing interviews representing the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, here we have him.
By the way, Pittsburgh, I love Bob.
Jeff Probst.
Yeah. I could hear Bob Prince in Bloomington, Illinois.
Yeah, KDKA Radio.
KDKA.
Yeah. 50,000.
Oh, he's talking to Bill Burr.
There we go. Perfect.
All right. That's
perfect comedy and Mike, construction right there.
I hate people that are okay with disorganization. You must organize things. If I go to someone's house and I see, you don't need to alphabetize your spices. But if you have, say, albums or CDs or anything like that, any sort of physical media, and I know I'm narrowcasting here, please alphabetize it. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to others. You will have a happier life if your media is organized. And
may
that's
I have a counterpoint?
Yes, you should.
Hey guys, don't be a dork.
And you've got some sunflower on your face.
Sorry.
Or is that a scab?
Stop.
All of my physical media is organized and alphabetized.
Good. And how much physical media do you have? I was going to say. You see, that was, you know what that was?
All of my media is in a landfill somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. I might have some.
I live in the digital world, Rob.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope you're happy.
Well, there's no need to have it.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No.
Yes.
It'll eventually end up as dust. It's not. You're not able to keep it.
Rob is preparing for when Trump destroys the country and electricity and internet is gone and he can still play his vinyls on the crank.
Yeah, you can come over for a record hop, Mike. Mm-hmm. But physical media, yeah, you know what? People need to lay off the fact.
We're going
to
argue with you on the physical media, like CDs and albums.
Albums.
Would there be something else besides that? Because the vast majority of people probably listening to us right now don't have that stuff.
I organize everything. I mean, all physical media, all the digital media is organized. I know it doesn't sound like it.
I'm not talking about albums and CDs. Yeah, your kitchen.
Is your kitchen organized?
Yes. Oh, my God. I run a spotless kitchen. And that's another thing. I don't know if Carrie thinks, and I hate to keep bringing it back to her, if there is some sort of magical elf that comes while she's at the school that does the dishes and runs the dishwasher and empties the dishwasher, because it certainly isn't her doing it. And my son is just as bad. My son has a habit where he will come in, he will finish dinner and not put it in the dishwasher. He'll put it by the sink, not in the sink, but by the sink. And everyone, and I told him when he was growing up, when he would do this, I said, if you continue to treat the kitchen like this, your roommate is going to kill you because it's not acceptable. And yet it continues.
So Carrie does it, leaves it messy
yes,
too?
Mm-hmm. And I try to stay ahead of it. I
you
feel
do the
like
kitchen?
I'm, yeah, I feel like I'm bussing a table with her sometimes.
Who does the floors?
The floors, she will do the floors.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Who does the laundry?
We do our own laundry.
That's good too.
Yeah.
So there's help there. Who does the bathrooms?
Carrie does the bathrooms. Well, we have a deal.
Oh my God, your bathroom?
Yeah,
oh,
I dirty wow. it and she cleans it.
Oh my God, that would be that woman deserves a Purple Heart, ladies and gentlemen.
I think she actually cleaned up a Purple Heart in the bathroom.
That's so that is so gross.
She had to scrape
it. We couldn't
it.
Have Rob's Unfinished Business without one of those on there.
And also, people that automatically turn off a television if a movie's in black and white, give it a chance. Some of the greatest American art that has ever been made have been motion pictures in black and white. It's not a reason to not watch something. Don't recoil if someone says the movie Citizen Kane.
But I can't find it because it's not alphabetized.
When your wife came over for a Super Bowl once.
I can't think of a time where I accidentally flipped past a black and white show and
right.
said, well, I'm turning the TV off now.
Probably 1968.
That was about when we were going all color, yeah. But when your wife came over for a Super Bowl once and she came up to the kitchen and she says, Rob, I'm having such a good time. I just moved a couple of your CDs around. And it drove me apeshit.
I was so tempted when I was there to just move a few.
I walked through the whole, there's how many rows of them? 7 rows of CDs. Yeah. And I went through, and she said, I was just kidding. I said, well, that's not much of a joke now, is it?
I had the same idea when I was there. What if I just
Yeah, but
a
I had my
DVDs
eye
around?
On you. Had my eye on you.
Oh, no, I had a few minutes alone.
When I've been there, I've taken them. There you go. I've taken them.
You asshole.
No, he'd miss them immediately.
Yes.
Well, one time when we were on a
it's not like Friends and Neighbors with John Hamm where they have so many Rolexes that he can take one and they won't be
missed.
They
won't miss it. Exactly. the one time that we were on like a 4-day trip for the show, and in that 4 days, Carrie sold 2 of my DVD sets.
Atta girl.
And out of eBay. And when I came home, I noticed right away. She says, what is with you? I said, don't
sell my
stuff.
That's why you are fun to live with.
I am fun to live with. I mean, she doesn't laugh anymore. And also, right. Here's the last thing, Mike, and it's a quick
last thing before my fucking head explodes. Yes,
for all these people that are driving Rivians and Tesla urban assault vehicles or something like that, where is a fine American V8 rear-wheel drive sedan? Bring it to me. GM, bring it back. Something. They don't all have to be crossovers.
You were born at the wrong time, Rob.
Well, you know what? Ask my mom. She would say I was born way too soon.
I wish you hit the lottery and you can have all of your cars with V8 engines alphabetized out in the garage.
Yeah, but Mike, if they came out with a handsome V8 powered, say an Oldsmobile, you'd look at it. You'd love it.
Because there's nothing wrong with the combustion engine. No,
yeah.
I'm old school that way, but I also drive an electric car. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I do.
I don't like that.
Hope you enjoyed that, people. That's an hour of your life you're never, ever going to get back.
I feel so much better.
I'm glad you purged yourself. And we will do that a year from now again. And, you know, actually, maybe around Christmas time, because Rob has a lot of opinions about Christmas time. But really, have a fabulous week. We've done some really good shows. And to Robert III, a wonderful young man who begins his journey through life by shacking up with you, I have to say, Robert, congratulations. I remember when you started at WVU, and it was difficult.
Dicey.
To the point of almost not wanting to do it. You hung in there, buddy. Congratulations. And love you from down here in Southwest Florida. And all good things to you in your journey. And enjoy his commencement. Absolutely.
I have one last thing to say. And I should have said it during the regular show. And I'll repeat this at a later time. I got a call from a friend of all of ours yesterday whose wife is suffering from ALS. And he wanted me to just thank ALS.org and the ALS Society for all they've done for them to make this journey at least a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what ALS is, go to ALS.org, take a peek, And if you're so inclined, help them out. They're a marvelous organization. A lot of great trivia, a lot of great charities out there. But this one is essential to this guy's life, and he wanted me to say thank you to them. So there you go.
We will return Monday. Josh and I will be here. Next week on the show, we'll be joined by the other Soroka, as I like to call it. And then we'll be talking to Nick Cho Wednesday of next week. Our good friend, your Korean dad, Nick Cho, will be on the show, and we'll be constantly reminding you to get your cabins.
But I think we're good.
What's that?
I'm waiting for his final confirmation, but I think we're good with Wednesday for him.
That's good. I'd love to have him if he's not. He's
such a good guy.
If he's not, tough tits. Anyway, that's... No, I love the guy, but I don't give a shit.
I'm sorry.
I have to tell the show. I love talking to him. It's fun, but yeah. It's not like, you know, the ship right. is going to stop sailing.
His
the MSCC side will continue its journey to Nassau.
Get him to buy a ticket.
For Rob Spiewak, and please don't share that with him, okay? I really would like to have him on the show.
Yeah. And so when you're reaching out, don't say tough tits.
Tough tits. That's
don't
not,
say
that's
that.
Not
that's not nice.
I just gave that to me here live on the fly, and I wasn't ready for it. All
send right? him lots of messages that you love him on the show, and you'd like to see him in December.
Yeah. That for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Meara saying, S&E.
I don't like that.
Hello, it's Mike. If you're hearing me now, you are a TMOS bonus show subscriber. And if you are a bonus show subscriber, I just want to say thank you. You are a vital part of our show, and your support makes TMOS possible. We love you. Now don't get happy.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt.
I'm Ray Barboni from Miami.
That is a lie.